Let's turn now to Rabbi Paul's first letter to the congregation in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, the whole chapter today. Not a long chapter, 13 verses, focusing on the problem of tolerating sexual immorality. Paul's decision to remove the sexually immoral man in the congregation must be respected. The need for holy living, very similar to this week's Torah portion. We are not to judge sinners outside the community, however, we are to judge those sinning inside Messiah's community. These are the main subjects in this week's study of 1 Corinthians. Corinth was known for being a center of sexual immorality. Since I was young, the sexual morality of the United States has dramatically deteriorated, so that we have now become a center of sexual immorality, like Corinth was 2,000 years ago. We have been Corinthianized. And the situation is even worse because Messiah's holy community, the church, has not been immune from the sexual immorality that now is pervasive in our culture. Sexual immorality has infected the church. The morals of many people who identify themselves as Christians or as Messianic Jews reflects the standards of the world. Many are sexually promiscuous. I'm talking about young people who call themselves Christians, and not just young people. There are entire denominations which embrace sexual perversion, like homosexuality, including going so far as to ordain spiritual leaders who are homosexuals. Rabbi Paul has been dealing with the problem of division in Messiah's community. Different groups were forming around various leaders. Now he turns his attention to another problem, the problem of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality was being tolerated within Messiah's community in Corinth. The rabbi demands that Messiah's followers in Corinth stop tolerating sexual immorality in their midst. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. The sexual morals of Messiah's followers are to reflect the standards found in the Word of God, not the standards of a fallen world. The Lord created sex. He created sexuality. He made us to be able to engage in sexual activity. He made us male and female. Male and female is at the core of who people are. However, the Lord has standards for sexual activity. It is only to take place between a man and a woman who are married. Any sexual activity that takes place outside of the male-female marriage relationship is wrong for many reasons. It is a sin which must not be tolerated within Messiah's community. However, it was being tolerated in Corinth. A man was in a sexually immoral relationship with his father's wife, and the people in the community knew about it, and were tolerating it. And while they were tolerating this sin, they had a high opinion of themselves and their spirituality. Rabbi Paul tells them, "And you are proud." The Corinthians believed that they were functioning at a very high spiritual level because they had a lot of spiritual knowledge and had been blessed with a lot of spiritual gifts. But the rabbi knew better. He knew that they were thinking more highly of themselves than they should. Elevated thoughts about their spiritual high level was the wrong response for a community that was tolerating sexual immorality in its midst. Paul tells them the right response. "Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this?" The community should not be feeling pride because of their great spiritual attainments. They should be mourning and grieving because of the sin in their fellowship. And they should not have been tolerating this immorality in their midst. They should have already removed the immoral man from their fellowship. They had not done the right thing. They had been negligent. The rabbi now informs them that he has taken matters into his own hands. He has made a decision that the man who is involved in sexual immorality is to be immediately excommunicated. "For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Yeshua on the one who has been doing this." Paul lets them know that he has made a decision. He already passed judgment. And they needed to respect his decision. Why? Several reasons. Because even though he was distant from them in space, in location, he was with them in spirit. He was still connected to them. He was part of them. He was joined to them. He was close to them. Since he was with them in spirit, he had the right to be involved in this decision that affected the community. He was with them in spirit. And there was another reason they should respect his decision. He passed judgment in the name of the Lord Yeshua. When Paul states that he passed judgment in the name of the Lord Yeshua, it means that what he decided is in complete agreement with what the Lord Yeshua stands for, what the Lord Yeshua represents, what the Lord Yeshua wants. And it means something else, that Paul is using the authority that the Lord Yeshua had given to him, had delegated to him. Paul was a representative of the Lord Yeshua. And as an apostle, he had been given great spiritual authority. So, what Paul had bound and loosed on earth had been bound and loosed in heaven. The Lord Yeshua recognized Paul's authority and fully supported Paul's decision. The rabbi had passed judgment. He had made a decision. The community must recognize his authority, honor his decision, and carry it out immediately. He tells them what they needed to do. So, when you are assembled, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Yeshua is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. When someone is doing something wrong, it's almost always easier to tolerate that situation than confront that situation. But it's almost always better to confront the situation. So the next time the community assembled, when they met together, Paul would be with them in spirit. He would be close to them and connected to them. And of course, the Lord Yeshua, who was always present with his followers, would be with them and close to them and supplying them with all the power they needed to do what was necessary, even if it was hard to confront the situation. The situation with this immoral man was no longer to be tolerated. He was to be excommunicated. He was to be disfellowshipped. He was to be removed from the fellowship that the community enjoyed. That's a very serious thing. That is a very frightening thing. No one should want to be removed from Messiah's community. Messiah's community protects us. It is a spiritual fortress protected by God the Father, Messiah the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's protected by God-ordained spiritual leaders. It's protected by the love and the prayers and the fellowship of the saints. Satan and the other fallen angels are real, and they are powerful, and they are cruel. Satan is the god of this world. And so those who are removed from Messiah's community, they lose their spiritual protection. They are returned to the authority of the god of this world, and he has the power to harm them in various ways. The purpose of handing someone over to the god of this world is not to destroy him, but to ultimately redeem him. The hope is that the suffering that the one who has been excommunicated will experience, the spiritual suffering that comes from being removed from Messiah's community, and the various unpleasantries that the adversary may inflict on him, will cause the one who has been removed from the fellowship to reassess his life and repent. The hope is that he will turn back to God and turn away from his sin. That will show that in spite of his previous sins, which he had been caught up in, his faith was still genuine. Yes, he slipped. Yes, he fell. But with God's help, he has now picked himself up. He's back on the right track. He will be saved. That's the hope. I wonder if it was close to Passover when Paul wrote this letter. Regardless of whether it was close to Passover or not, this next section, which continues Paul's correction of the community, uses Passover themes. Your boasting is not good. The community was boasting, bragging, proud. They thought of themselves as spiritually rich, spiritually powerful, full of spiritual knowledge and spiritual gifts. But the reality was that they had no right to boast about their spiritual attainments while they were divided like they were, while they were tolerating sexual immorality like they were, while they were thinking of themselves more highly than they should. They had no right to be boasting. What they needed to do was recognize and remove their sins. If they didn't, the rabbi lets them know that things would get worse and worse because sin is like yeast. Sin is like leaven. Sin, if tolerated, doesn't just stay there. It grows and spreads and affects every area of an individual's life or a community's life. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? The Corinthians needed to recognize their sins and remove their sins, just like the Jewish people need to remove the yeast from our homes in order to observe Passover. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. Get rid of the old yeast. They needed to remove the sins of pride and division and tolerating sexual immorality. Get rid of the old yeast. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. Sin was no longer in accordance with who they now were. They were not the same people they had been before they encountered the three-in-one God of Israel. They had been given a new godly nature. They had the Spirit of God living in them in a whole new way. They were new creatures. That was their new reality. As new creatures, new human beings with a new nature, and with the Holy Spirit of God living in us and empowering us, we are able to live according to our new godly nature. And we are expected to live according to our new godly nature. We are expected to turn from sin. We are expected to live godly, holy lives. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. Just as eating Passover lamb and matzah, unleavened bread, go together, so faith in Messiah and holiness for the followers of Messiah go together. The rabbi writes, "For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the holiday, not with the old bread, leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the matzah, the unleavened bread, of sincerity and truth." Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Messiah died on Passover as the ultimate Passover lamb. So that not just the lives of the firstborn sons of Israel can be spared, but the lives of every human being who has faith in Yeshua can be spared in an even greater way. Messiah died on Passover, so that just as the Jewish people were freed from Egypt, which was a place of sin and slavery and suffering, we can leave our Egypts, those sinful things that enslave us and cause us to suffer. Just as the Jewish people eat the Passover lamb, so we are united to Messiah, our Passover lamb, by having faith in him, by believing in him, by becoming loyal to him. Just as Israel observes Passover by eating matzah, we are to remove the sin from our lives. We are not to tolerate sin in our lives or the lives of Messiah's community. We are to live pure, holy lives. Just as the Passover lamb and the unleavened bread go together, faith in Messiah, our Passover lamb, and holy living go together. Instead of yielding to sins like malice and wickedness, we are to be living virtuous lives, characterized by things like sincerity and truth. This was not the first time the rabbi had written to the Corinthians about not associating with sexually immoral people. He had written to them in a previous letter, which has not been preserved for us, about the same issue. I wrote to you in my letter, that's that previous letter that we do not have, not to associate with sexually immoral people. In order to prevent any misunderstanding by what he meant about the Corinthians not associating with sexually immoral people, now the rabbi clarifies which people he meant, which people he was referring to. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral. Paul did not mean that Messiah's followers were not to associate with sexually immoral people who were outside Messiah's community of salvation, but he was referring to people who were sexually immoral who were inside Messiah's community of salvation, who called themselves Christians, who called themselves Messianic Jews. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral. In addition to not associating with sexually immoral people who claim to be Christians or Messianic Jews, the Corinthians were not to associate with so-called followers of Messiah who were practicing other sins, which he lists. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. The greedy, people who are never satisfied with what they have. They always want more money, more possessions, more things. Never satisfied, always want more. Swindlers, those who lie and cheat in order to take the possessions of others. Idolaters, Those who put other things before God, whether it is a literal idol or a non-literal idol, which can be a person or a thing. An idolater is someone who is devoted to someone, who is devoted to something more than he is devoted to God. Are you an idolater? Then Paul adds a little humor to reinforce that he did not mean that they should disassociate themselves from non-believers who were involved with these sins. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and the swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. I find that funny. The rabbi is telling us that the world is full of people who are immoral, who are greedy, who are swindlers, who are idolaters. They are everywhere. They surround us. The Corinthians would have to leave the world in order to disassociate themselves from all of them, and that's impossible. That's not what he was meaning in his previous letter. No. He meant that they were not to associate with those within the community whose lives were characterized by these sins. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard, or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Paul adds two other sins to this list that should result in disassociation. A slanderer. That is a person who makes false or malicious statements about others that are intended to harm others. A slanderer. A drunkard. Maybe a more modern word would be alcoholic. Drinking alcohol is permitted. Drunkenness is not permitted. A drunkard drinks to excess and does so frequently. Drunkenness results in loss of control and irresponsible and damaging behaviors. So, anyone who claims to be a Christian, claims to be a Messianic Jew, claims to be a follower of Messiah, but is sexually immoral, greedy, an idolater, devoted to something, someone other than God, more devoted to something or someone other than devoted to God, a slanderer, a drunkard, a swindler is to be avoided. We are not to have fellowship with that person. We do not associate with that person. We do not sit down and eat a meal with that person, because eating a meal together is an expression of closeness and fellowship and sharing. This preserves the holiness of Messiah's community, and it warns the person that we are disassociating from that he is not in a good place, and he needs to make some serious changes, and he needs to know that. The rabbi makes it clear that it is not our responsibility to pass judgment on those outside the community. He writes, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church, outside the community? It's not our business. It's not our responsibility to make a determination about the failings, the sins of those outside the community, and seek to punish them, to go after them for those failings. That's the responsibility of government authorities, the police, the prosecutors, the judges. Our responsibility to sinners outside our community of salvation is not to judge them and try to see them punished, but to love them and bring them the good news and encourage them to turn from their sins and turn to the living God, who will make them into new creatures. That's our responsibility. However, when it comes to Messiah's community, it is our responsibility to set godly standards, standards of holiness, and enforce those standards within the community. Are you not to judge those inside? There is nothing wrong with calling out those who are sinning inside the community. In fact, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to do that. We are negligent if we do not do that. We are tolerating their sins, and a little leaven begins spreading through the whole batch. Another reason why we don't judge those outside the community is because God will judge those outside. God, whose judgment is perfect, will, in his own time and in his own way, punish those outside the community who are sinning. He will do that by using things like sickness or loss of wealth or premature death, or he will punish evildoers by using government officials to arrest them, put them on trial, and sentence them to various punishments that fit their crimes. Paul's conclusion is simple. Expel the wicked person from among you.